Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, as we look in the Word of God, we want to read this chapter. One of the best chapters in the entire Bible, Revelation 21. That's not to slight any of the rest of them, but the subject of this one's a good one. As we look into this chapter, the theme of it's the New Jerusalem. The key verse will be verse 6, which you'll read in a minute. 27 verses, 749 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible. This chapter is at a 6.3 grade level, and we see two parts to it. One is John's vision of the New Jerusalem in verses 1 through 8. Then John gets a visit to the New Jerusalem for the rest of the chapter. And as we look in Revelation 21, we'll begin reading in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And of the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprase, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were a transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And there shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. As we look tonight at this precious chapter of Scripture in our Bible prophecy series, I'm going to preach to you tonight on the final place. We saw last week the final judgment. Tonight we look at the final place. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you. We thank you, God, for this time to come and gaze on the Word of God and take in this precious book. We pray, Lord, tonight, God, that you'd help me to preach, Lord. Help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Help me to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help, Lord, everybody that's listening, according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And I pray, God, that you'll move on us. God, if there's anybody here that's lost and undone without you, or anybody watching that's lost and undone without you, they'd get saved. I pray, God, for the saved, Lord, that you'd encourage and strengthen their hands for the work that you've saved them to do. And, Lord, we love you, and, God, we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Amen. As we look at the final place tonight from chapter 21, we're going to look and see the sights of this city that God has described in his word for us. And the first one we look at literally is the source of the city. If you look back in verse 1, he said, "And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John," he said, "saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." You'll notice that God is the source of the city. Without God, there would be no New Jerusalem. Without God, there would be no Old Jerusalem. There'd be no earth, no anything. But we see he is the source of this city. If you'll bring your attention back again to verse 1, he said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away," and he said, "there was no more sea." Now, the sea he's referring to here in Revelation 21 simply would be, as we look at it, is not the sea like you're thinking about, like, you know, God moving the sea back and there not being no sea here. A lot of folks get into that type of thing and they think that's what God's trying to show them there, that there'll be no Atlantic or no Pacific. But that's not what he's talking about there. Remember, when God done away with the planet and put a new earth here, that was the end of those things. But in this new place, he says there'll be no more sea. And the sea described is the one that's, if you take your Bible, turn over to Job 38. Job 38, I want to show you this. Job 38. Now remember, if you look back in Revelation 4 and verse 6, there was a thing there that said that there was a sea of glass that was shown there. That, like, when you get to heaven, there's this sea of glass. But if you go all the way back to Job 38, and you look at Job 38, the Bible tells us about that sea of glass. It says the waters, Job 38, look down at verse 30, "The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen." Now that face of the deep he's referring to here literally is talking about the place in heaven. There's a vast expanse of ocean before you get to heaven when you leave this planet. If you look over at Job chapter 41, Job 41, and giving a description of the devil, he tells us over here, as he goes through this description of him, as you get down to verse 30, Job chapter 41, verse 30, "Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep," it says, "to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh the path to shine after him." It says one would think the deep to be hoary. What is he talking about? He's talking about that expanse of ocean where the devil's been cast out of heaven. He can only come up to where it stops at the sea of glass, where it's frozen. And that Leviathan described there is not a rhinoceros. It's not a unicorn. That thing's the devil. That's the great dragon described over there in Revelation 12 over there. And see, when he says that the sea is going to be removed, that sea he's talking about in Revelation 21, verse 1, is that sea. Because the other ones are already gone. Now God, since there won't be no sin there, no nothing to defile it, he removes that place right there because there's no more need of separation from it. Now you come here tonight on Wednesday night, took your time to be here. I want to give you a little something extra that you just can't get sitting at the house. How about that? Revelation 21, the source of that city. As we look also back in Revelation 21, we see another sight. We see the separation of the city. There's going to be some things that this city is separate from. As God's word tells us to be separate, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, he's going to separate this city from some things. In Revelation chapter 21, if you look in verse 4, it says there in Revelation 21, 4, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. Now, the reason he's got to wipe away tears is the picture we just had in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, of the great white throne judgment. At that judgment, you and I will see people we have let walk right in front of us and never told them about Christ. We'll see relatives we have never even bothered to pray for. We'll see co-workers we've never even prayed for, even thought about or didn't like them. We'll see those people pass before us as they're judged and put into the eternal lake of fire. And friend, you may not cry about it now, but you'll cry about it then.
Right.
There'll be tears there. There'll be tears there because of lost people. There'll be tears there because of lost rewards. I was working on a message today about what have we got to lose. You know, there are some things you and I can lose as Christians. One of them's not salvation, but we can lose about six other things I found in the Bible right off the bat. And every one of them point back to one word, and that one word is sin. You let sin reign in your mortal body, there's six things automatically you disqualify yourself from. But as we look at the separation of the cities, he's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. Verse 4, and there shall be no more death. There will not be the Heavenly Arms funeral home in the New Jerusalem because there will be no need of it. There will be no death there. He says neither sorrow. There will be no doctors on staff there to try to help us cope with actions and bad things going on around us because there will be nothing that will bring sorrow there. He points out also in that verse, nor crying, but the tears there. Neither shall there be any more pain. Thank God Almighty. Listen, hey, I'm glad. Listen, when I was 25 and preaching this, I didn't really think about it a whole lot, but now I think about that a whole lot.
Right.
There shall be no more pain.
Yes.
And listen, for you younger folks, where I am, I used to be where you're at, and where I'm at, by the grace of God, you'll be where I am in this age.
Right.
And by the grace of God, I'll be where some of you are. But I'm going to tell you this, all of it has one word described of it, saved or lost, and that word is pain.
Yeah.
I had somebody tell me, I said, what hurts? They said, it all hurts. But in that city it won't hurt.
Amen.
Because there's a separation from it. He says in verse 4, there neither shall there be more pain, for the former things are passed away. But then if you look down at verse number 8, here's some more things separated from that city. He says, but the fearful and unbelieving. Those folks that walk around afraid of their own shadow. Those folks that listen, hey, that's scared of their own shadow. There'll be none of that there. There's nothing to be afraid of in the New Jerusalem. Why? Because of the source of that city and what God's put out that he won't allow in that place. And that one thing is fear. And the second one there is the unbelieving. You ever heard somebody say, well, I just don't believe it like that. They will then. There's not going to be any unbelievers in heaven. They're all going to be believers.
Right.
I've had people say, are you sure we're going to go that way? I'm positive we're going that way. And when we get there, you'll see it too.
Right.
That, listen, amongst the death of this flesh, after that, we believe everything. We'll be able to take it all in. He says in verse 8, and the abominable. They can have their sodomite marches right now. They can go to downtown city and they hold up signs. And they can listen, they can petition to be married all they want to. But they won't do it in this city, and there won't be no marriage license handed out for it there. And there won't be none of that crowd there, because God did not make them that way. God called that thing an abomination there, and he still calls it one, and he won't let it in that city. If you don't understand repentance, you better get a dictionary out and get to looking for it in the Bible, because there's going to be something you got to stop. And that thing is sin. Might I also add that there's 14 other things in the Bible that are mentioned that are abomination to God. And since I ain't got time to deal with all 14 of them tonight, I do say this, dear brother and sister in Christ. You need to find out whether you're involved in any of them abominations and get rid of them if you are.
Amen.
Now imagine that. Instead of just preaching unfairly and dealing with one, there's 15 of them, so you need to get with it. So I don't know how to. You need to see me after service. Listen, all you need is a concordance and a Bible. And look that thing up and go through there and find all of them and say, God, I didn't know about this one, and this one, and get right on the thing. Amen. Listen, that's good stuff. Watch this. He says, the abominable, and watch this one, and murderers. There'll be no abortion doctors in heaven. There'll be no more, listen, there'll be no people there like certain presidential candidates who believe shoving a scalpel in the base of the skull of a two-thirds developed baby is okay. God calls it murder. There'll be none of that there. Either the blood's put on that, and the blood of Christ is put on it, and somebody asks forgiveness of that thing and turns from that sin and saved. Because if you're not, you will not be in this city. He said there'll be no murderers there. And guess what? There'll be no whoremongers there. Thank God. Listen, you can go around that city, ladies, and you don't have to worry about somebody cat whistling you all the time and all that other stuff. I mean, I know y'all all have that problem, right? See there? But I'm going to tell you, when we get there, there'll be none of that, because nobody, that'll not matter. The very thing that people chase after right now is sex, and they won't even chase, they won't think about it there.
Right.
Notice this one here. He says that next part, and sorcerers. I know a lot of our brethren would have us to think that the Greek word pharmakia and pharmacy and all that's where we get that from, but we don't take today's definitions and go back to the Bible with them. We take Bible definitions and define the Bible. And sorcerers in that verse are people that's fooled up in witchcraft, whether it's black magic, white magic, Wicca, or whatever. There'll be none of that stuff there. There'll be no upside down pentagrams with a heart attached to it talking about God is love there. There'll be no need of that. And the reason we got that is God said there won't. There'll be no wizards there, no sorceries, none of that stuff. He said the next part, and idolaters. There'll be no idolaters in that city. There'll be no posters of football heroes and baseball heroes and all that other stuff. Why? Because God is the source of that city. And the separation of that city, he's moved certain things out of the way. Next, he says, and all liars. Can I stop and say this? If you tell yourself and your children, well, it's okay to tell a little white lie. Listen to this. Hashtag, all liars count. All lies count. Hey, listen, as I look at that thing about all liars, not only the white liars, but the black liars and the green liars and all of them go. Yeah. There'll be none of that in that city. There'll be no lies there. And if you're a practicing liar now, you need to get your life right. And you need to ask yourself a very simple question. Do I fit in with this crowd? Is this my crowd? Look at this next one, he says. And all liars, it says, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So there is some separation from this place.
Yeah.
And the separation is sin. God takes sin completely out of this. Look down at verse 12. We see also the sides of the city. The sides of the city. In verse 12, he says this, and had a great wall, had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And he goes on to point out about these gates, about they had three gates on the north, south, east, and west. Verse 14 down there had 12 foundations, which is the name of the apostles. So it sounds like to me that these folks that think they replaced the Jew are going to be very unhappy at this place.
Yeah.
Because it's going to have the names of the 12 tribes. It's going to have the names of the 12 apostles. And by the way, the 12th name's Paul.
Amen.
Just in case you're keeping up with the names. Judas's name won't be there. Neither will Matthias. No, it'll be Paul's name there. And we get down to the size of the city in verse 15. And the Bible says, and he that talked with me there, it says he had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. It says in the city, watch this, lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and breadth and the height of it are equal. Now, as you look at the size of this city, you start at the Great Lakes. If you were thinking about a map of the United States, you'd start at the Great Lakes right here, and it would start and go 1,500 miles this way, which would be almost over to Montana, over that way, closer to Idaho. And then it would go all the way down to Mexico, and then we'd go all the way back over here to the panhandle of Florida, and then come all the way back up. That's one dimension of it. Now, that thing's big. And I got up today and I went and looked up how many people are on the earth right now versus how many people is estimated to died. And according to the best source I could find, that including everybody that's breathing right now and everybody that's dead together, there would be 106 billion bodies available to us as live and dead. You and I both know everybody don't go to heaven.
Right.
But if we were, would heaven be enough for us? Watch this. You take 106 billion people, you stick them into that New Jerusalem, and you divide that number into that 1,500 square number, everybody gets about an acre and a half land. Isn't that something? But wait a minute. Jesus said there will be few be that go there.
Yeah.
So it's subject that you will have way more than an acre and a half of land piece.
Right.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
You won't live. Listen, you're not going to live elbow to elbow in heaven. It's going to be kind of spread out there. As we look at the down at verse number 18, the Bible tells us, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. We see the splendor of the city. It says, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And as we look down through there, I want you to catch something in verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. I don't know where this thing is that grew this pearl, but I know that gate's so big. It didn't say it was made of pearl. It said it was one.
Right.
So instead of a gate made out of pearl like you see on the cartoons and stuff, that's not it. There's going to be a pearl in the middle of that thing. There's going to be three on each side covering each one of the gates up. A gate of pearl. Now, that's not to keep people out or to keep people in. That's just the splendor of the city and how God has it. But don't you notice something before you quick to judge Brother Kirst back there when he says this to you in the choir. It says in verse 12, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold. See, it says street.
Right.
And that thing is like your wedding ring. It just is one street.
Right.
We ain't going to have Hallelujah Boulevard and Shouting Acres and all, and you know, all that stuff. That makes for good preaching, but it just don't make for good Bible truth.
Right.
But what we do see there for a fact is it said the street.
Amen.
Say, but our hymn book says such and such. When the hymn book's wrong, one says one thing and the Bible says the other, and we go with the Bible every time.
Right.
I know that goes against modern thinking, but that's still how God works, that the Bible's still the final authority.
Amen.
But not only see all these sites, there's one more there. Look down at verse 3. The Bible says there in verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. God himself. Then you go down to verse 22, and the Bible says this. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Might we see another sight in this city, and that's the Savior of this city? Thank God, listen, I'm glad Grandma and Grandpa will be there. I'm glad your loved ones that got saved and you'll be there. But when we first get there, we're not going to want to see all them.
Amen.
I don't care how bad you missed whoever. I'm going to tell you something. When you get there, listen, they might even try to get in the way between you and him. But you're going to say, no, let me see him first. Let me see the one that died for me, that gave his life for me and shed his precious blood for me. Let me see him. I want to see him. Let me see him who I've walked with and talked with along the way. Let me see him who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, I want to see him. The Savior of the city. Do you know without him, Grandma wouldn't matter. Listen, without him being there, it wouldn't be heaven. And I see this as we look at the Savior of the city. It said he's the temple of the thing. In other words, when we go to have a good old-fashioned worship service where we're going to shout and run that street, he's going to be right there in the middle of it, being the temple of the thing, and we'll shout and praise God and love him. Listen, I've heard these people say, well, when we get to heaven, it's just going to be singing. Uh-uh, honey, the preacher's in heaven standing in the middle of the thing right there, and he's going to show us the whole Bible and teach us the whole thing. Say, that'd be difficult. We've got all of eternity to learn the thing.
Yeah.
We'll have all restrictions of this flesh dropped aside. Will corruption put on incorruption, mortality put on immortality, and we'll be sitting there with the Savior telling us all things about the Scripture.
Right.
And he won't say, well, this verse means to me. No, he'll say, this verse says.
Yeah. Right.
This verse says. I said this. Here's how it happened. And listen to this. I see also there's something else there. If you look down in verse number 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Can we notice that another site here is going to be the safety of the city? I vaguely remember back when I was a kid and we first started locking our doors at night. I vaguely remember that I was a little bitty kid. And I asked, why are we locking the doors? We've never locked them before. They said, there's crazy people out there that's wanting to break in and steal stuff and kill people. And they started doing that here. They'd been doing it in Detroit. They'd been doing it in California. They'd been doing it in New York, but it hadn't been here. Then they started doing it here. And I remember at night having to roll in the windows because you didn't know if somebody was going to come try to break in them windows.
Yeah.
And Grandpa was such an old-timer, if you will, that at night we didn't just lay down and go to sleep and him say, "Well, I hope for the best." No, we prayed, and then he loaded the shotgun and set it beside his bed. I said, "Why do you load the shotgun?" He said, "I'll be too sleepy if I hear something in the middle of the night. I want to go ahead and have that point-and-click action there." I said, I get you. And I'm going to tell you what. We could take a lesson from them old-timers. Teach your kids how to shoot a shotgun. Teach them how to respect firearms and things like that. And they may be less of what's going on in this world today. I know this personally. I'm not a good criminal or nothing. But if I was a criminal and I was breaking your house and I knew you was on the other side of a little old thin piece of wood and you had a shotgun on that side and I knew what that shotgun do, I'd be less likely to go in your house.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
But I know this. Everybody wants safety. I passed by at least 36 signs on the way here that said protected by and had a different security name on each one of them. Do you know there'll be no need of that there? Do you know, I'm not sure, but I don't think there'll be doors on the mansion in heaven. You know why? We won't want nobody to be kept out. We want them to all come in. And listen to this. There'll be no night, it says, so we won't be asleep at all. We'll be awake forevermore. Won't be tired, won't be anything. And listen to this. I hate to inform you this, but the safety of this city is just there because there's no sin. You won't have to call ADT or any of them alarm companies or set up cameras or have any of that stuff because the Bible says that everything is gone that's a problem now will not be in that place.
Right. Amen.
When I look at all seven things we just looked at, and seven being the number of perfection, and as we look through this chapter tonight, boy, this sure does shed a lot of light on John 14:2, where Jesus said this, "I go to prepare a place for you."
Right.
Are you ready to go to that place?
Amen.
Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.